some things maybe we sort of get into us when we're children, younger. But when it comes to rejection, we may be facing this all through our life. And rejection has some very bad consequences in us. So I want us to learn what it is. Then I want us to this morning to look over. I have a questionnaire here or something you can answer. And I want you to look over that so that you can see, do I really have feelings of rejection at times? Or is this truly bother me at times? In certain areas, does it bother me? And I think we really need to understand this. So we see that we use Joseph, I think, even last week. But Joseph was really, like I said, the favorite of his father, and his mother was dead. And maybe that's why he was one of the reasons why he was favor to his father. Because the wife that he loved so dearly, she died at childbirth, and the second child. So there was only two children by her. And the first one was Joseph. And it seemed like either the father took particular effort to have him taught or to learn, but it seems that he had certain amount of education or learning or understanding that he had gained. And so he was one that his father showed his partiality to. Now you might say, oh, I can't understand. You do not know how many parents, without even hardly realizing it, can show partiality to one child over another, and maybe not even be aware of it. That's why we need to sort of analyze ourselves and think about this thing. Anyway, Joseph was one. Then Joseph, in a sense, he became a dreamer and dreamed some wonderful things about himself, that he was sort of over everybody, finally over his brothers, and then finally over his mother and father and brothers. Well, all of these little things were really eating on his brothers. He had 11 brothers, and most of them were older than him. He and his younger brother were the youngest. And here they saw their father give him a beautiful coat. They didn't have one. And each one of them, or several of them, they were by several different wives. And so and concubines and servants. But this is the one that seemed to be the one that was sort of lifted up, like I said. And so the brothers, over the period of time, it began to root into their heart and the feelings they had toward him. I would like to say that stopped after Joseph, but it didn't. There are many families today that have that same problem. I was thinking about logic. When I was coming, believe it or not, as I preached last week, I was thinking of the logic of the old Chinese thinking. Now, their thinking was that their sons were going to take their name, going to keep the family going, but the girls, they're going to get married and get another name, and they're going to be gone. So therefore, there came, I think, through the culture, a feeling or understanding that the boys were what was worthwhile in the family. And I thought of the logic of it. Well, it's true that the name will be carried on by them. The women will probably go off and get married. But should that logic stop there? No, because it just becomes a problem. I have faced this time and time again in Taiwan and in China, where the girls were very hurt, had some very deep feelings about it, the way they were treated, the way they were used, the way they were looked at. And subsequently, many of them, because of the philosophy of the sons and the oldest son in particular, the parents began to hover over the sons. And the sons were watched after, taken care of, particularly the first one. But they were watched over, taken care of. And subsequently, because of that, they were not able to be true leaders. You blame your husband? Don't. It comes through the culture. It comes through the way that they are brought up. So then what happened is that the women became the workers, the deciders, the taking care of everything. And so then they got to the place where the women became very strong. They knew how to run the family. They knew how to do things. And so therefore, a lot of it was then the women just by natural, it just seemed to come in and they became much stronger sometimes than the men. So you see, when we think about things logically, like I talked about last year, they always don't come out the way we want it. And I want you to see then that because of this kind of thing, many a person's heart, their life, their situation became unbearable because of some of these things. So let's go on to see what rejection itself is, an act of being, of refusing to accept or consider a person and give them, and don't, maybe not even approve of them. You just don't accept them. You just don't accept them. Now, I often feel like that, I don't know how father or mother does it, but it is really, it really can happen. I've seen it because of the child self. Sometimes you have a very strong-willed child, very hard to take care of, very hard to train, very hard to discipline. You have a complacent one. A complacent one that's very close to you. Mommy, mommy always was close, always around you, always looking for the love. This one over here didn't care about the love in a sense. He was independent. You know, they're independent. But then you have this other. So you find yourself without even realizing it, gravitating to that child that clings to you. And so the other child, even though they want to be dependent, they look over there and they watch it. They watch it down through the years. And many times it explodes into bad feelings between the siblings. And so that's why as we look at this rejection, we want to look at it and look in ourselves, because I have had a problem with rejection. It, when people reject me, it really sometimes, it used to really sometimes devastate me. So I've had to learn. I've had to understand. I've had to pull myself in with this. And I have sort of figured out why that I feel the way I do about rejection. But I'm glad now, because now I can just, well, you know, the Lord has helped me how to overcome it. So let's look then at, that is, rejection is the act of refusing to accept or consider a person or a thing. To be rejected, now see, one is to reject, but to be rejected is to be cast aside, cast off, cast away, to be thrown away as having no value. When you are rejected, you can feel useless, abandoned, and worthless. Now, I want to tell you something. This, again, comes in the area of marriage. That husbands and wives, after a period of time, when there's many things they can't seem to be able to work through, and the wife may be mentally and ability-wise better than their husbands, or their husbands might be mentally or ability-wise, job-wise better than their wives, and many times, without recognizing it, they do reject the wife. They do reject the husband. And this is something that can come very slowly. I was with someone, a couple one time, and I knew he had had trouble in his schooling. He had ADD, and he had tried, but it was very difficult for him. And now he had really worked himself up into a fair job, but his wife was a professional. And so they began to talk over things. And they were talking about the roof in the car. And I don't know exactly what they were trying to explain about this sunroof. But he had one opinion, she had the other. And so she said to him, well, after all, I've gone to school, I have education, I know that. And he said, but I know it because I understand the make of it and so forth. But she, in a sense, without even, you, she wouldn't ever, she would never thought that she had belittled him. She would have never thought that she had made him feel cast away. But it's sometimes little remarks like this that become very damaging in a marriage. So that's what we have to understand. Are we a person that rejects, or are we a person that is rejected? To reject someone means to despise, refuse, shun, turn away from. If you reject others, you use your attitude and your actions to reveal the condition of your heart. And that is what is so dangerous about this, that when we get this feeling, and I want to tell you, we are all very human. And we all have all kinds of different things in us that brought us to the place we are today. And so, therefore, we may not understand, but we can sometimes, in our attitude, in our act, that's why when I talk to you about attitude, how utterly important your attitude is. So if you have an attitude of rejection, sometimes you teach your child. You know, you have a kid next door that maybe doesn't dress as well as your child, and you just don't think you want him messing with them, when really the child is a very good child. The parents are poor, they can't, but you don't, and you have the attitude, after all, we're better than them. You don't say it. You don't say to them, you know, we're better than them. But it's our attitude. No, we don't want to, you know, as we begin to deal with it, talk about it. So we have to understand that we in our attitudes, in our actions, many times we are rejecting people and things. And it's not always good. To accept one is to approve, or to receive the one favorable or willing. We accept them. We should receive and value others because of their God-given worth. As Christians, this is our bottom line. We treat others because they are God's child, they are made by God, and they have worth. I'm sorry that sometimes they've allowed themselves, that their worth seems to have gone down, or they don't have it, but as far as you and I, we don't judge them, we just accept them. Now, I didn't say we accept them to come to dinner. I didn't say we accept them to go to lunch with. I say we accept them in our attitude and actions toward them. Mrs. Shi told you that time about when we were in Taiwan, and there was this very retarded and didn't look too good fella. And we were at the bus stop, or at the train station, and she said she recoiled. She was afraid. But you see, because of my background, I was brought up in the inner city. My mother and dad ran a mission. I knew poor people. And then I had worked with retarded people. So when I saw him, it wasn't obnoxious to me. I was able, he came over and I talked to him, put my hand on his shoulder and just, you know, treated him like I would anyone else. I feel like this is what God's talking about. I didn't ask him home for dinner. I didn't give him my phone number. I didn't try to say, hey, buddy, you and I can maybe go out and see something or do something. No, I didn't do that. You say, but that's how you have to do to accept. No, that isn't how you do to accept. You just take the person as a person. Treat them as a person. One time in Cayman, I had a friendly drunk. I had several friendly drunks. And this one really, really cared about me. Now, that sounds funny, but he did. I liked him very much, but that was his life. He drowned going from our part of the island to the other, and I'm probably sure he was drunk. But anyhow, he came to my house one day at night, and he said, Reverend Swartz, I need $5. Now, I am an easy touch. I am sorry. I'm just an easy touch. And you say, well, don't you know he might buy liquor? Yeah, I know he might buy liquor. But I also know maybe he'll buy himself something to eat. I couldn't say, okay, what are you going to spend it for now? You know, give me details. No. And maybe I didn't do right, but anyhow, I gave it to him. I said, here, you take that. And he went off. Next day, I hear a knock. Miss Swartz, I opened the door, and there he was. He said, here's your $5. I couldn't go use it for liquor. I couldn't do it. Here's his back. Why? I think because I always treated him as a person, not a drunk. And you see, this is what I feel God wants his children to do. This is the way we show Christ, for this is what he would do. So when we're thinking about accepting someone, it's not to live with them. It's just to make them feel that they are a person. I do not respect what they do, but I respect them as a person. They're a person. God made them. They're part of God's creation. So who am I that I tread on them, look down on them, give them more hurt than what they've got? So this is one of the things. That's why I feel like in rejection, this is an area that God can bless us to really be a witness for him. Really be a witness for him. Now, there's three levels of acceptance. No matter what I do, I'm never accepted. I've heard this. You know, in Taiwan, they have to take a test at the end of high school to see what college that they can get into. Some of the girls that I knew that came to our school did not get accepted into any good college. This really, many times, left a mark on them. That was a real, real hard thing. And when they would come, they were girls that really got good grades. They did well. One of them in particular, she really, really did well, went on to get her graduate degree and then was asked by the college to teach. So that shows she was really, but you know, Darlene, until her death, never got over it. Always trying to get more acceptance. She was very upset when she first went to teach because she didn't feel like they respected her enough. She wasn't getting acceptance. We had to let her know this many times. You have to be able to get their acceptance because they see and you earn their acceptance. But it was very difficult because those many times become your workaholics, always trying to do, to please, to overcome, to achieve and overachieve because they were not accepted in certain areas. So that's one of the levels of a non-exception. Then there's another one, and this is another hard one, and that's performance. Performance-based acceptance. If you do, if you pass, if you're number one, if you're able, if you shine above the rest, they feel that they are accepted. Now, I've seen some that not because they're parents really didn't accept them, but because it was in their mind. It was in their mind. If I didn't do good because I've been so pushed all of my life, you've got to do this, you've got to practice, you've got to be this, you've got to reach this, until they felt within them they had to do these things to be accepted, even if no one told them that. But many times in the home they were told this. Not if you do good you'll be accepted, but they wanted, you want to be good. One boy, one of my friends said, his cousin told me, that after he didn't pass the test, his father took him out, tied him to a tree, and beat him. So you see, there are those people that are scarred and make their defense mechanisms and keep this bottled in them until eventually they get to the place where maybe sometimes it becomes despondency, it becomes anxiety in the more later years. But anyhow, then there's the unconditional acceptance. Now, I don't want to accept my son as a jailbird, and I would let him know that, but I would still let him know I loved him. I remember in China there was a fellow and a girl that got married. He divorced his wife, and they it really was not a pleasant thing. And so when she came and told me, him and her, they expected, I think, me to really, really give it to them. And I have to tell you, I had to pray before I did talk to them. I loved them. I really did. And so I went to, then they came to me, I said, listen, what you've done is wrong. What you've done is against God's word. I let them know what I felt about what they'd done. But I said, but I love you. And I always will love the two of you. And I do. I still do. Even though there's problems, I still love them. You see, this is what we call unconditional love. Not accepting the condition, but accepting them in that you love them, you care about them, you're going to help them whenever you can. You're there when they're in trouble and they need help. But we don't always accept what they do. So this is another type of acceptance. Now, on the second page of your papers there, you're going to see, it calls it a test. We won't call it a test because I'm not going to give any grade. What it is, it's something that I like you to look at right now while we're here. If we feel controlled by fear or rejection, because rejection brings a lot of fear, and if we are controlled by that, then our focus will be on people pleasers. However, we need to say what the Apostle Paul said, that we don't live by what people want. You can read those scriptures. If you are understanding whether or not you're living for the approval of others, answer the following questions honestly to see if you live with the fear of rejection. Now, no one else needs to know what you have here. And when you're honest with yourself, you can help yourself. So I would like you, if you have a pencil or a pen, to just go down there and make your own little mark if it's something that maybe you ought to stop and look at. Something that maybe you ought to sort of look at yourself about. And I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to do that. If you don't understand, you can just ask me about anything.